and ask you to turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:17, very common verse. My Bible, it's three words. The NIV, it's only two words. And our topic this morning is going to be prayer. I was wondering as I looked around this morning and looked like there was not as many here as we normally have. Now, we have some people that are traveling. I know of at least three couples that are traveling, some with children. But I was wondering, I wonder if, because the topic is prayer and a challenge to the kingdom of darkness and to saving the lost, that maybe some have just not come this morning when they should have come. So just a thought. You might have your own thoughts on that. But prayer is something that truly threatens the evil one, and he will take every effort to keep us from prayer and to keep us from assaulting his kingdom through prayer. So 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says this: pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. The NIV says, pray continually. And obviously we can't always be locked in our closet and praying. Some have both the opportunity and the giftedness to spend many hours in prayer each day. It's interesting, if you trace the life of Paul through the New Testament and put his letters in chronological order, as he gets older, he talks more and more about prayer. And his prayers recorded in the epistles get longer and longer. And I wouldn't be surprised if God had shut him up both to write the scriptures and also to pray for the church as well. You read the life of Watchman Nee, you find the same kind of thing. He ends up his life in prison, but focused much on prayer and writing as well. So pray continually. It's an attitude we're supposed to develop and have, just that sense of always being in communion with God. Over the next couple of weeks, we're going to spend probably more time in prayer than our normal schedule would call for. Thursday, we're going to have a day of prayer for missions. And I encourage you, if you've never signed up for a day of prayer, that you sign up this time. And you might say, praying for a half an hour? I can't do that. And yet I've talked to many who signed up for the day of prayer in the spring when we prayed for the fellowship churches across our country and so on. They said the half an hour just went by like that. They were so surprised. And I would encourage you, if you have not ever signed up, to sign up this morning. Take one of those prayer sheets home and go through what it says on there and participate with us. If you have signed up for a time slot, I'd encourage you to maybe sign up for a second one or maybe even a third one and challenge yourself, stretch yourself, maybe even sacrifice, sign up in a time when you would normally be, say, having lunch or something like that. And so you would give extra of yourself in this time of prayer, this day of prayer for missions. Then next Sunday, we're going to share in prayer as a congregation. And the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, we're going to be praying together. We're going to be worshiping and praying during the service. We'll be praying for our brothers and sisters in those parts of the world where being a believer and possessing a Bible is a crime or strongly opposed by the culture and citizens of those countries. We're going to be praying for the countries of Iran, Egypt, and Sudan, and for the believers and the unbelievers in those countries. Then on November 20th, the Sunday after our anniversary, we're going to spend a Sunday praying together as a church family. So we're going to be spending a little bit more of our schedule together in prayer over the next month or so. So prayer is going to be our focus, and I think that's the way it should be in the church. Interesting how Jesus, when he cleansed the temple in Luke, I think it's in Luke, might be in Mark, he says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Not a house of worship, but a house of prayer. and the church should be very much a house of prayer. Over the last 3 weeks, I've been particularly burdened to pray for you as a congregation, for my family as well, for your physical, mental, and the spiritual dimensions of your life. Now, I'm not claiming any kind of mystical experience here or anything like that, but I have just had a great sense of burden for you and have sought to discharge that with some extra times of prayer over the last 3 weeks. Now, this may mean that we're under some kind of spiritual attack, and hopefully I'm sensitive enough to that to be praying for you in that regard. I've talked to a couple of people, and they have felt the same, that there's a pressing in that's coming upon us. It may be that God is preparing us as a people to draw closer to Him. Whenever God prepares His people to draw closer to Him, He usually precedes that with a time of prayer. And so that may very well be the case. Or maybe those two things could be working together. And so God is calling us to a higher walk of life in prayer and in other ways of living. And the enemy is also trying to keep us from that. I just see and sense something beyond the ordinary is happening. Because of this, I believe we need to give ourselves more to prayer as we move forward in the work at Rosedale. We need to give ourselves more to prayer, both to keep what we already have in relationship to God, and to move ahead to become what God wants us to be in Christ and to achieve what He has called us to do in the city of Welland. So I think these are very crucial days in your individual walk with life, in my individual walk with life, in the walk of the church with God as well, in the future spiritual life and fruitfulness of our congregation. Personally, I sense a great need to learn how to pray more effectively and with more authority, and would like nothing better than to learn that and go forth in that as a company of people together in the Lord. As I prayed about today's message, three scripture portions came to mind, and I just want to share those three scripture portions with some comment on them and make a few comments on prayer and then close with a challenge, obviously a challenge to lift up our own prayer life. The first verse that came to mind was Mark 9:29. Let me read this to you from my translation. This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer. Some translations have by prayer and fasting. Most of your Bibles will have a little footnote that adds the word fasting after prayer. In this story, Jesus is up on a mountain with Peter and James and John. He's getting his final instructions for his departure from this world. And down in the valley, there's a man who brings his son, who has an evil spirit, to the disciples so that they might cast out the demon that is in this son. But the disciples are not able to do this. They've cast out demons many times before in their different mission excursions, but they can't cast them out of this particular boy. The man sees Jesus coming down from the mountain, and he comes to him and he says to Jesus, "If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Well, Jesus questions the man a little bit about his son, and then he says, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." The father of the son, in his honesty, answers Jesus with this, "I believe, help my unbelief." Jesus then casts the demon out of the son. Later on, we find the disciples coming to Jesus and saying, "Why could we not cast out this demon from this boy?" I love the answer that Jesus gives. He doesn't put the blame on the lack of the Father like a lot of faith healers might do today. Well, it's your lack of faith that has prevented you from being healed. But he says, it's the lack of prayer by you, my disciples. That's where the fault lies. That's where the lack of authority lies, because of your lack of prayer. Well, there are two lessons for me in this story. There may be other lessons for you as well this morning as the Spirit of God speaks to you, but two lessons for me this morning. The first lesson is that God can help my faith to grow if I ask Him. I can believe that God is able to do something and yet still have unbelief when I pray and ask Him to do it. God can change my unbelief to a growing faith as I learn more who God is, how He is able, and learn to put aside my common sense, in a sense, my reasoning, as it were, and look for God to do the miraculous and the supernatural in my everyday life. The second lesson in this story is that God is looking for me to show Him that I am serious about His work and His kingdom. The scribes who copied these verses in the old days, all the manuscripts were hand copied until Gutenberg brought forth the printing press, and then copies could be made which were identical to each other. So copies and after copies were made by these scribes. And somewhere in the process of copying, one of the scribes added prayer and fasting to this verse. Because he caught the sense of the intensity that Jesus was asking of the disciples in their prayer to bring deliverance to the kingdom of darkness, to this son and beyond. Even though fasting is clearly not in the original Greek, the sense of the intensity that Jesus required of the disciples is evident in the story. And so that copyist wanted to make that more evident and added this whole thing of prayer and fasting, an intense relationship with Jesus Christ that would bring the authority required in this spiritual deliverance. This was a difficult case. The evil spirit was determined not to leave this boy. The evil spirit was not going to give up his territory easily. Today, the lost are held strongly in the grip of the devil through his many lies. The blindness of men is stronger today than ever before, and these lost lives will not be won for Christ without effort in prayer and fasting, likely on our part. Addictions, abuses, dysfunctional families all around us, depression, anxiety, sexual openness, lack of commitment, the focus on entertainment, multiple religious options, the teaching of evolution, and I could go on and on to name the many traps that can bring us into bondage, both believers and unbelievers alike. I just find godlessness is all around me, and everywhere I turn the radio on, and they're making jokes about something in the Beatitudes, and I turn around this way, and I hear people swearing as if it's just normal conversation. I turn around there, and somebody's just had an abortion. I turn around here, and it's just godliness all over. It's like I get this idea of this guy's just listening and spinning around and just falling down with the sense of the godlessness that is around us in our society today. Mockery, careless living, ignoring God, making fun of spiritual things without even any sense of conscience whatsoever. And on and on and on. We could go with that as well. These kind of things will require far more of our calling onto God for deliverance and for salvation in these lives. The question is, Do you and I want to fight for the salvation of the lost or for the freedom of believers according to God's promises? Or are we content to leave things as they are? Each one of us will choose how far we are going to press into God to see His power work in and through our lives and in the local church. And the results will be self-evident to all. The second scripture verse which came to mind was 2 Chronicles 7:14. That's a very common verse in relation to revival and into prayer. If my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. This is God speaking, not one of the prophets speaking, but God making a promise to Solomon that if his people will humble themselves, seek his face, and turn from their wicked ways, he will hear them and he will answer their prayer. Today there is an intense battle going on for the minds and souls of men, women, and young people, and for families and children. The flesh we are born with, along with the evil world that is under the rule of the devil, and this world is under the rule of the devil, I have no questions about that, provides for all of us what we need to destroy ourselves and to erase from our lives the image of our Creator God. God has given us everything we need for godliness and righteousness, but the devil has also provided everything the world needs to destroy itself and to destroy the image of God in which it was created. Today, even as God's people, we fall for the lies of the world and follow the ways of the world. Most of our problems are the result of our not seeking God and not obeying God's word and following God's ways. We have produced our own prisons and problems by unbelief. A choice to come to God in prayer is a choice to redirect our hearts and our minds and our lives in line with God and to have His goodness and blessing upon our lives. God wants to work in us and through us. We need to seek Him and correct those areas in our lives where we have not followed after God. And this begins with prayer, and it's followed by a study of God's Word. To find a relationship, a deepening relationship with God in prayer, and then to direct our lives in line with Scripture will bring freedom and joy and the blessings God has promised to us. The third scripture verse which came to mind is 2 Corinthians 10 verses 3 to 5. For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ. So we have weapons of warfare, not fleshly weapons. We don't go out with AK-47s and hand grenades and seek to claim the kingdom of God, like Islam does, for example. But we are fighting against strongholds, which are ideas that are against the knowledge of God, the lies that Satan has given to the world and with which he holds the world firmly in his grasp. The most powerful weapons that we possess against the world and the devil, against these thoughts that are against God, are prayer, the proclamation of the truth, a godly lifestyle, and a loving attitude towards those around us. The love of God at work in our hearts. Prayer, the proclamation of the truth, which is very important, which we don't do. A godly lifestyle, and love at work in all of our circumstances. The strongholds we are seeking to destroy are the ideas and opinions that oppose the knowledge of God. Our goal is to take every thought captive to obey Christ. The goal of taking every thought captive to obey Christ is not only for the unbeliever, but especially for the believer. Let me ask you this question. How many of your thoughts are captive to obey Christ? And how many of your thoughts are really captive to the way of the world? That's a good question. That's an important question. How many of your thoughts are captive to obey Christ? And how many of your thoughts are really captive to the way of the world? Don kind of hinted at that this morning when he mentioned in the introduction to that song, the Lord of creation, but, you know, the Lord of my life as well. And those are two different things. He is Lord, and He is my Lord, are two different things. And here we're talking about being captive to the thoughts of Christ and letting them be the direction that guide our life. How many of your thoughts are captive to obey Christ? And how many of your thoughts are really captive to the way of the world? We all need to become captives of Christ in our thinking and actions by taking hold of the truth, by prayer, and by choosing to live godly lives, and by letting God's love flow through us to others. Now, a few comments on prayer, and then we'll close. Prayer, well, really only one comment on prayer. Not many, just one. Prayer requires time. Prayer requires time. You might say, well, prayer requires me getting a sense of God's presence and all. Yeah, that's all true, but it requires time. If you recognize that you need to spend more time in prayer, the first thing you need to do is to make time in your busy schedule for prayer. We don't have scheduled times for Bible reading, some of us, and certainly probably don't have scheduled times for prayer. On the monthly calendar this year, all year, I have had an appeal there that says, this year I will pray, and I put a blank there, minutes every weekday. I started this about 4 years ago to spend 30 minutes a day for 4 days a week to pray for the church. And one of the times I have set aside, there are other times during the day as well. Now I have an advantage for you because, like Howard Hendricks would say, I'm paid to be good and you're good for nothing. But what I'm saying is, I have that as part of my calling. So for you, it may be more difficult and hopefully also more rewarding. Would you take up the challenge? It is not easy to step into your closet each day to pray and leave the world behind. But if you consider prayer important, that is what you must do. Through prayer, you will come to know God more intimately. And through prayer, God will work in your life and in circumstances. Over time, as you pray, you will receive God's burden for the church and for those you are praying for and for the lost as a whole. And that will lead you to more fervent and specific prayer. As time goes on, you will desire to learn more about people and countries and gather greater requests from many different sources. And prayer will become almost, in a sense, an addiction, hopefully, in your life, a need that you absolutely must fulfill. As you pray, your trust in God to answer prayer will also grow. So, step one, make time in your schedule. Step two, keep the time in your schedule and then work through in that time your relationship with God through prayer and intercession for others as well. So let me close by saying that I believe that through our present circumstances that God is calling me, at least, and you, and the church to more prayer and is watching to see if I or we will respond. Our response to this call to prayer will determine God's response to our circumstances and to the need of the lost in Welland. There's some sermons you come to on a Sunday morning, and they're basically just teaching from Scripture, a challenge and application to life. But in this particular day, on this particular Sunday, I think it's a challenge that is connected with a timeline, as it were, and a response that is called on from us to see how things will go. Will you make the time to pray? Will you join in the battle for souls and the sanctification of believers? That's a couple of words that have come into my vocabulary in the last couple of weeks as I've been praying. Salvation and sanctification. Praying for salvation for the lost and sanctification for the people of God.